Philippians chapter 3 and look down to verse number 13. Philippians 3, verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Let's pray together. Father, I ask that you would empower the preaching right now. There are some folks, even during the scripture reading, who were distracted and not able to pay attention. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would come down in power and work in our midst tonight, and that not one of us would miss what you'd have for us from your word. Me included, Lord. I believe you've spoken to my heart as I prepared the message. And yet, Lord, perhaps there's more you want to say to me tonight. And I pray that my heart would be open as well. Father, use this message tonight to accomplish the things that you've intended. I don't know why, Lord, but I feel a little bit tired tonight. I pray that you would give me the energy so that these folks can pay attention and be able to tune in to what you have to say from the principles of your word. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the primary way to know God's will is through God's word. And we've been talking about that for a few weeks. But I really like verse 16 because it says, whereto ye have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. In other words, the things that we've already attained, the things that God has already taught us from His Word, it's very important that we stay with those things. It's intimating the idea that it's easy to drift away. It's easy to be a person who has learned to have their devotions every day. But then there's a change in schedule, you get a new job, or you have another kid in the home, another baby, or something else happens, and now all of a sudden, that devotional time's in jeopardy. It's easy to let the things slip that God has already taught us. And so he says, make sure you continue the things God's already taught you. The truth is, a lot of us would be really good Christians if we just did what we already know. Isn't that true? Those of you that are faithful in church, here you are Sunday night, came through the rain and made it on be faithful on Sunday night. Total it up sometime and think about how many sermons you hear. Believe me, I'm aware of it because I'm preparing for a week. Sunday school and Sunday morning, Sunday night and Wednesday night. That was one of the biggest adjustments I had being a senior pastor. When I was a youth pastor, I had one or two a week. Now I got four a week. It's like, whoa, this is interesting. But I love it. I'm immersed in God's Word all week. It's a wonderful thing. But you hear a lot of preaching. If we just did what we already know, we'd be pretty good Christians, wouldn't we? So Paul says, walk by the same rule, mind the same thing. And notice that word same. Same. Because as we find out what God wants us to do, we all grow to the point where we're starting to believe the same. First of all, that's why, if you've joined our church, that's why you're a member here, because you say, you know, this church believes like I think the Bible says. I believe that this church is following the Bible the way I want to follow the Bible, and so we have joined together to follow the same rule and mind the same thing. Now, you're never going to find a church that you agree with everything about. Even when I was an assistant pastor, I was there 19 years, and over those years, well, first of all, I had this long talk before I went with the pastor. Just asked him every question I could think of. He asked me every question he could think of, and it was amazing how we had so much agreement. And so that's how I knew the Lord led me there. And then I went and was serving the Lord there. And over the years, I found some things that we didn't quite agree on. And just about every one of those, once I talked to him about it, I saw it different from the Bible and I agreed with him. I agreed with the preacher once I saw it in the Bible. There was a couple things where I look back and I think maybe the Lord used my wife and I to help him think about some things. And we all grew together. And we changed. But we kept growing together closer and closer in unity. And it was a wonderful thing. You know, eventually, we're all going to have the same mind, the mind of Christ, okay? But we're supposed to be working on that now. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So that's what he means when he says, mind the same rule, mind the same thing. We're going to be drawn together in unity the more that we understand and learn and apply God's word to our lives. So if I want to know God's will, I want to know God's calling, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, then first of all, much of that high calling is going to be right in his word. Last time we looked at, number one, the calling of salvation. And it's so important that you know you're saved. That you're saved, but then also that you know it. And that assurance is settled and you've nailed that down. Then number two, we said the calling of surrender. And get to that point in your life where you say, God, you died for me. I've received you as my Savior. It's my reasonable service to give you everything. Say, God, it's all yours. And surrender your life to God. That is God's will for your life. It really is. Every Christian ought to surrender. Let's see some more now. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. We have the calling of salvation, the calling of surrender. And then here I see the calling of separation. The calling of separation. 1 Peter chapter 1. Look down at verse number 15. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. God says here that we are supposed to be holy because he is holy. Now, we won't be holy in the exact same way that he is, because his holiness not only extends into the future, but it extends into the past. God is holy, which means he is totally separate from sin. The word holiness, the word holy means set apart. Set apart. And the context of this passage is, be holy, be set apart from sin. Be set apart from sin. Did you know that now that you're saved, if you've received Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit indwells you and is there to help you to overcome sin and to live in victory? And the way he does that is he reproduces the life of Christ in you so that it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. So a lot of people try to live the Christian life by just trying real hard. But the Christian life is, I'm set apart by Christ and I belong to him. And now he's going to live his life out through me. Now, if that's going to happen, we've got to get serious about holiness, because there's a part of us that is the Spirit indwelling us. And then there's the part of us that's the flesh. And until we get to heaven, we're still going to battle the flesh. So we've got to die to self and die to the flesh, and put off the old man and put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We've got to put off the old man, put on the new. So that's where this idea of being set apart and holy comes in. And God's will for your life is right there in 1 Peter 1:15 and 16. Be ye holy, for I am holy. I wonder, if someone were to spend the day with us or spend the week with us, if you were to sit down with them at the end of the week and said, how would you evaluate our week and what I did this week? Would they say, you know what? You are set apart from sin and set apart unto God. What they would be saying is, you're living a holy life. Now, it doesn't mean you'll be perfect, because till we get to heaven, we're not going to be perfect. But you know, I wonder what the impression would be. Because there is somebody that spends the whole week with you. Who is that? Okay? God's Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is with you. Okay? He is with you all the time. All the time. He spends every day of the week with you, every minute of every day. And he knows if we're separated from sin or not. Either we separate from our sins, or our sins will separate us from fellowship with God. It's very important. The calling of separation. Not only separation from sin, but I want you to see something else. Turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. The Bible also talks about separation from sinners. Separation from sinners. Look down at verse number 14. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Do you see that there in verse 17? "Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate." Part of God's will for your life is the calling of separation. Yes, separate from sin. If there's known sin in our life, we've got to separate from it. We've got to get serious about confessing and forsaking it. But also, here I see separation from sinners. Now, be careful here. There's a difference between separation and isolation. Separation means I'm not yoking together with them. I'm not having fellowship with them. In other words, they're not my close friends. They're not the ones that I pal around with, go bowling with necessarily. I'll qualify that. Do all these different things with them, because the Bible says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." None of us are exempt from that. They will influence your life if you have the wrong kind of friends. David said in Psalm 119:63, "I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts." So here he says, come out from among them. Don't have a yoke. Don't have a thing where you're hooked together in an intimate way, in an ongoing type of relationship like that. However, there's a difference between separation and isolation. And sometimes in fundamental Baptist churches, we get so separated that we become isolated. That's not right. Because Jesus, he wasn't like the sinners, but he went among them. He went among them. The difference is what I call a friendship relationship or an evangelistic relationship. All right? I have some relationships with unsaved people, but they are not an unequal yoke, where we're palling around together and we're buddies and we're friends. But people would call it maybe a friendship. But every time I'm spending time with that friend, I'm thinking, okay, Lord, what am I going to say to them for you today? How am I going to impact their life for you today? This isn't just, I'll relax, kick back, have fun with my friend. No, because this is an evangelistic relationship. And the reason that I have any relationship with this person is because, Lord, I believe that you want me to reach them for you. You've got to have those kind of relationships as well. Now, let's think about our young people. Some people say, well, that's why I put my kids in the public school. All right, be careful. There are some kids who mature enough in the Lord, and in that school, they could take a stand. I knew a guy named Ben, not my Ben, a different Ben, who ended up in a public school up there in Michigan. And I'll tell you what, he took a stand for the Lord. He was persecuted for it, too. It was pretty rough on him. But I'll tell you what, the Lord used him in people's lives, and it worked out okay for him. It really did. He went on, finished there, went off to a Christian college, and then he went to the mission field for a while, and now he's serving faithfully in a local church over in Wisconsin. And so, you know, it is possible, but those kind of young people are very few and far between. Really, when you send them to school, you're saying, go and be a sponge. Learn. That's what school's for, right? Learning. Soak up everything. Soak up everything. So that's why it's important, I think, for the kids to have a Christian education. But watch what happens. So here they are. On Sunday, they go to Christian church. On Monday, they go to Christian school. They come home Monday, they do Christian homework. Or maybe they go to Christian sports practice. And then maybe some evenings, they have Christian school concert. And then Wednesday night, they have Christian church and prayer meeting. And Thursday and Friday, they go back to Christian school. And then Saturday, they have Christian youth activity. And then Sunday, they're back in church again. And it is possible that sometimes our young people can become isolated. So what's the option? What's the answer to that?
Simple thing is, well, that's why you got to have them in public school.
No. Well, you could sign them up for a sports league. Okay? If the Lord leads you to do that, but you got to be careful. There's some bad influences there. To me, the answer for that is soul winning. It's soul winning. Because you say, well, you can't shelter them from the world. They got to know what the real world's like. I'll tell you what. They knock on some door, and this guy comes, and he's, all looking super worldly, and maybe he even curses them out. Hey, guess what? They're getting to see what the real world's like. And they're learning. Maybe they meet a teenager door to door. And then they come home and they're praying all week, Lord, help that teenager to get saved. I want to go back to his house next week. And now you see they're building evangelistic relationships. And so the answer to that is soul winning. The answer to that is soul winning. If we have our kids in a Christian school and they're not involved in soul winning, we got to be really careful about isolationism. Because that's what it'll drift into. And they'll be afraid. They'll be afraid of public school kids. Public school kids, They're just kids like everybody else, And a lot of times the reason they look like that, purple hair and all that, is because they're reaching out and they want attention. Alright? I'm not saying everybody in public school is like that. There's some kids that are saved and trying to do right. But the answer for that isolationism is soul winning and witnessing. And it's really important. But perhaps tonight, the thing that would hinder God's will in your life is that friendship that's pulling you down. The friendship that's hindering. I mentioned that bowling league. Well, if you're going to use that bowling league as an opportunity to witness to people and invite them to a Bible preaching church, well, then maybe the bowling league is right for you. But if the bowling league starts taking you out of prayer meeting on Wednesday nights and things like that, well, then you got to say, I don't know about this. I don't know about this. Got to keep things straight. Keep those priorities right. I have some things that I do in my life that give me some outside contact with some unsaved people so I can have evangelistic relationships. It's real important. So separation is important, but not isolationism. Something else about separation. Go to Romans 14. We have separation from sin, separation from sinners, and here I see separation from stumblers. Stumblers. I like when things all start with the same letter, I guess. Helps me remember it a little bit. Romans 14:12. You say, well, where'd you get that? You'll see it in the verse here. Romans 14, verse 12. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or occasion to fall in his brother's way. For I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Now some of you know that Romans 14 is dealing with the specific issue they had in those days of whether it was right or not to eat meat sacrificed to idols. He said, hey, we know that it's not unclean of itself. I mean, God created that animal. That animal was slain, killed, and now there's the meat. The meat's not unclean of itself. But if somebody esteems it to be unclean, then to him it is unclean. And they had this big debate going on over standards, right? Do we ever have debates over standards in Christian circles? Oh man, do we, right? And so here they're having a debate over this Christian standard of whether to eat the meat sacrificed to idols. Some people say it's just a hunk of meat, and the idol's just a hunk of wood, and so there's nothing wrong with this meat, and I can get it cheaper for my family. Then the other people say, well, no, that's meat from sacrificed to idols, you better not eat it. Paul says, look, if you eating that meat causes somebody to stumble, then you stay away from it. Separate from the stumblers. The things that cause people to stumble, you take the safe side. A while back, I decided that I wasn't going to go rent videos in a video store. Now, I know they have some good videos in the video store. Well, I guess they do. And I also understand they have some really bad ones. Some of them are so bad that they keep them under the counter and you have to ask for them special. That's what somebody told me. But even the ones they put out on the shelves are pretty bad. Even some of the posters on the windows are pretty bad. And so I thought, you know what? If I go in there and rent Bambi, somebody is going to see the pastor went into a video store. And nobody cares about that. Nobody watches that. Let me tell you. Lately, I've been going to the UPS store to make photocopies for the church. We don't have our own office. We don't have a photocopy machine. And they actually have the best price for photocopies, if you need photocopies. Go to UPS in Northport. But anyway, the other day, my car trash baggie was full. Now, how many of you noticed that it used to be that right next to UPS was Blockbuster Video? Anybody notice that? Okay. Anybody notice that it closed? I don't know if they just closed or moved, but I thought, well, amen, you know, because most of the stuff that's rented there doesn't help our community and our society. I thought, well, okay, good. That's probably a good thing if they closed, and maybe they moved. I don't know. If you know where they moved, don't tell me. but anyway, something happened to Blockbuster Video. Well, my little trash baggie was full, and I grabbed my folder of things I needed to photocopy, and I grabbed my baggie, and I went over, and in front of the old Blockbuster Video that is no more, there's a trash can outside. And I dumped out the trash in that little trash can, and then I walked over and went into the UPS store. And there's the worker that's there a lot of times on the days that I go in, and they know when I go in I need the key for the copier, and I don't even have to wait in line. They just hand me the copy key. It's really nice. And then I make my own copies and go pay for them. Well, anyway, this time I went up, and he goes, did you just drop something off at Blockbuster? Blockbuster was closed. But maybe he didn't know that. You say, well, they don't watch you. Oh, yeah. He saw me get out of my car. He saw me head over to that trash. I said, no, I just put something in the trash can, you know. I didn't even say Blockbuster was closed. I said, I just had something to put in the trash can there outside the store. And he went, oh, okay. Folks are watching us. Folks are watching us. And, you know, what if I just went back to Blockbuster to return Bambi? Yeah, sure. Yeah, I know what you guys are in. I know about those preachers. They're all alike, you know. And some preachers have hurt the testimony of the Lord, haven't they? But it's not just preachers. It's all of us. Our testimony is important. And so stay away from stumblers. Stay away from things that are a stumbling block. We must separate ourselves from things that cause others to stumble. And then lastly on separation. Separation to service. If you're using the handout in the bulletin, the blank there is to. Do you know that separation is not only from, but it's also to? Separation is not just a bunch of don'ts. Separation is also some do's. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. It's right after Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And go down to verse 9. 1 Thessalonians 1:9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Here I see that there's not only separation from things, but there's separation to service. These people turned from idols, but that's not all. They also turned to the living God. And it says that they served Him to serve the living and true God. And we're not only separated from the sinfulness of this world, but we're separated to service. That's why when you read in the Old Testament, maybe you're wading through Leviticus and Numbers. Some parts of Numbers are tough. The end of Exodus is a little bit tough. And when you're going through those passages, you will read about cups and bowls and utensils, and it calls them holy. How can a cup be holy? You know how? It was separated to God. They said, this cup is not just for any old use. This cup is going to be used in God's temple or God's tabernacle. It's holy. It's separated unto God. It's for Him. This cup, you're not going to just give this to your toddler to drink his milk and cereal out of. No, this bowl is holy to the Lord. It's separated to Him. Folks, that's what God's call in our life is. We're not only separated from sinful wickedness. The Christian life isn't just a bunch of don'ts. There's some things that we ought to do for God. That's why the don'ts become important. If you focus on the don'ts, you get discouraged. Make sure the don'ts are in place, But then get busy on the do's. That's when the Christian life gets fun. That's when it gets exciting, when you start seeing God use your life and you start serving the Lord. We have a calling to service. Now, at Bethel Baptist, I've often said that I really believe God's calling to service involves for us at least one soul-winning ministry and one service ministry. Some people don't have that, and there's something missing in their Christian walk if they don't have at least one soul-winning ministry and one service ministry. Some people take on too much. They take on 8 service ministries. You know, I help in the nursery, I sing in the choir, I'm an usher, I'm a deacon or steward, I am, and they do, 4 or 5 things, and it's like, we're just overwhelmed. Hey, take on one soul-winning ministry, take on one service ministry. Now, sometimes, because not everybody does that, sometimes we need to have, willing people who say, okay, I'll take on a second service ministry. Or I'll do some more when it comes to soul winning. And sometimes that happens, but you got to be careful, because that's why people get burnt out trying to serve God. Okay? But you take on a service ministry and a soul winning ministry, and God will use you. And that leads us to number 4, the calling of service. Turn to Hebrews chapter 9. Not only the calling of separation, but the calling of service. Did you know that God has called every Christian to be involved in His work? And if we're just a pew warmer, then something's missing. Something's missing. Because God has called us unto service. Looking down in Hebrews 9 verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Now look down to that verse again and think about it. What has purged our conscience from dead works? Look through the verse. Try to figure it out. When you think you got it, look up at me. And what do you think it is that has purged our conscience from dead works? Okay, I see 1, 2 eyes, 3 eyes, 4 eyes. Okay. I think we got it, okay? All right, how many think that it is the eternal Spirit? Ooh, you guys are good. Okay, how many think it's the blood of Christ? There you go. Good. The blood of Christ. Now, yes, the Spirit purges us too, but in this verse, it's saying the blood of Christ has purged our conscience from dead works. You know, before you're saved, you try to do good things. The Bible calls those dead works. All that money an unsaved person gives to charity. All the times they attend church. All the times they offer up some prayers. Dead works. But through the blood of Christ, we're clean. Now we are in a right relationship with God. And now we're purged from dead works. And now we can do true works. Works that please God. So he says, you still can't please God. Yeah, we can. Colossians, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. There's some teaching in fundamentalism now that says, hey, you weren't saved by your good works, and you can't please God with your good works after you're saved. Wait a minute. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Sounds like we can please God to me. Okay? And we ought to. We ought to please Him because we've been saved. And so it's important. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And that verse comes right after the one that says, not by works, lest any man should boast. So, right, we're not saved by our works. But after we're saved, we ought to do those works to please Him. And it's very important. We're called to service. Now, notice the verse says, Hebrews 9:14, the blood of Christ will purge our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. He has called us to serve Him. That's part of God's will for your life. Go back to Galatians chapter 5. I know we're turning a lot, but that's why I did this message on Sunday night, okay? All right, Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Ah, there's some calling in our life. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. All right, what is this concept of liberty? You know, God has called us to liberty. Some people say, liberty, freedom, that means I can live however I want. And you fundamental Baptists who preach all this stuff, don't do this stuff. No, you shouldn't preach that because we're called to liberty. We can do whatever we want. Wait a minute. It says right in that verse, use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. You know, when somebody says, do whatever I want, they're talking about gratifying the flesh. Gratifying the flesh. Somebody said to me early this week, they said, you know, it's just, you know, the Baptist churches, and he was talking about fundamental Baptist churches, just to be honest with you, Pastor, they're just kind of boring. It's kind of boring. You know, what he meant was, it doesn't appeal to the flesh. It doesn't appeal to the flesh. And I tried to explain that to him. Now, I know what he meant. Now we got to do our best not to be boring in a bad way.
Brethren, we've gathered here today to look at the Word of God. Let's start with Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. Let's sing it together.
I like that song, by the way. It's a good song. But, you know, we got to sing some lively songs, too. Got to sing some lively songs, too. Because it shouldn't be boring. Is serving God boring? No, okay, it's not boring to me. If it's boring, we're not doing something right, okay? Serving God is not boring. Our young people ought to see there's some excitement in our life. They ought to see. You know, if we go home and, oh man, I gotta go back to church Sunday night, or, yeah. They're not getting the right impression of God, okay? Glorifying God means giving the right impression of Him. And I'm telling you, serving God is not boring. And if I ever get moody or down, you come up and remind me, hey Pastor, remember, it's not boring to serve God. Thanks for the rebuke. We all have bad days, okay? I'm not saying you're not going to have a bad day, but we got to show that it's great to serve God. Life is great when you're committed to God. And it says, don't use your liberty as an occasion to the flesh, but use your liberty to love and serve one another. By love, serve one another. So what are we called to? Liberty. And what does the liberty call us to do? Serve one another. Serve one another. So, God's call, God's will for your life is definitely this idea of serving. Jesus said in Mark 10:44, whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. Think of that phrase in Hebrews, serve the living God. How do you serve the living God? He doesn't need anything. He doesn't need me to do something for Him. I mean, if I were going to serve you, I might do something you need. Might help you mow the lawn, or help you vacuum the pool if I can take a dip, or something like that, okay? But when you serve God, I mean, God doesn't need anything. We serve God by serving others. We serve God by serving others. Colossians 3:23 says, whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. You know, I like the kind of Christians that when they do something, they do it heartily. When they sing a song, they sing it with everything they can muster. When they go out soul winning, they're excited about it. They're going to do their best. When they wash their car, they're going to wash it the very best they can. When they do their homework, they do it the very best that they can do it. Because whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. Do it as if you're turning in that homework page to the teacher. Do it, wash that car like the Lord Jesus is going to be driving it. Okay? Set up the church auditorium at Bethel Baptist Church like the Lord Jesus is going to be sitting in that row. Okay? One of the guys said, hey, preacher, I had some extra time today and I dust mopped the whole front half of the auditorium because we had a few extra minutes. I said, amen. Amen. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. Somebody else came in and said, you know, this morning when we set up, we didn't have the trees quite arranged the way we should. One of them had the white pot in the front and the palm tree in the back. And the other had the palm tree in the front and the white thing in the back. So I said, well, go fix it. Oh, yeah, okay. And, you know, because we're doing it as unto the Lord. Whatsoever you do it heartily as to the Lord. That's the way our service should be for Him. If you're serving in the nursery or the toddlers or the children's church or the Sunday school or door-to-door soul winning, say, Lord, this is unto You. I'm going to give my very best because You deserve it. And again, we have bad days and we get tired and worn out. But that ought to be our normal state, is to do our very best for God. And I praise the Lord that many of you are a great testimony in that. Because the next verse says, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Jesus said, if any man serve Me, let him follow Me. And where I am, there shall also My servant be. If any man serve Me, him will My Father honor. We're called to serve. Now let's think about these first four callings for a moment before we go. The calling for salvation, the calling for surrender, the calling of separation, and the calling of service. As I meditated on those this week, I thought, you know, those really fit well with the back of our church bulletin where we have some of our purpose written down there. How that we're seeking to help people so that they can love God, grow together, and serve others. And think about that. The calling to salvation and surrender. That's what loving God's all about, isn't it? Okay, you love God, so you receive Him as your Savior, and then you grow to love Him more. You start attending church faithfully and becoming a for-service type of Christian. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You know, old Lee Robertson used to say, it takes three to thrive. Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And so, you know, they start loving God. Well, then comes the calling of separation. And that's where we're growing together. We're growing together. You know, our world is pretty wicked. And even church-going people don't have a real concept of biblical holiness. Do you think so? You know, I don't think so. And so when they come to a church like ours, we can't expect them right away to fit right in. I mean, they might show up not quite dressed like they ought to be. Or they might show up and here they got saved. And you say, preacher, you say this guy got saved, and he shows up, and he's got this earring in his ear. Well, you know, people don't understand that yet. We've got to give them time to grow. We've got to help people grow together and understand the calling of separation, to be separate from the world and separate from sin, and give them some time to grow together. And then after they've grown together with us, then they're ready for service. And we had the calling to service tonight. And we have loving God growing together and then serving others. And once they've grown and they've started to understand some of these things, then they're ready to take on some things, teaching Sunday school, things like that, because they've grown together. They're ready to be up here on the platform singing in the choir because they've grown a little bit and they've started to understand some of the things that are going on and what we're trying to do for the Lord here at church. But it takes time. It takes time for that. And all the while, we got to love them. You know, the churches like ours that are the most focused on obeying the Bible, even in the small details of personal living, also need to be the churches that are the most focused on loving people and befriending them and encouraging them and helping them grow. But what happens sometimes is when we focus on this idea of the calling to holiness, that sometimes we get judgmental and we look down on people. Man, if he really got saved, he would... Well, he doesn't understand that yet. He's got to grow. He's got to grow. And you know, we're going to be a growing church. And so we're going to have a lot of people coming in who don't know what's going on. You know, we had a great attendance this morning. And I praise the Lord for it. But when I got in the car, you know, I told my wife, I said, my heart's breaking because this new person wasn't here. And this new person wasn't here, and this new person wasn't here. And I thank the Lord for the good attendance. It was wonderful. The singing was great. Everything was great. But we got to reach these people. We got to reach out to them in love. We got to take them under our wing. They're like little babies. Little baby can't make it to church on his own. Little babies need a ride. Little babies need somebody to bring them. Okay? Get them in the car seat and bring them with you. You know, we need to encourage folks. And together we're going to love God. We're going to grow together, and we're going to serve Him. And I think God is setting up Bethel Baptist Church to do something special in Northport for Him. I really do. Let's get on board. If you've not answered any of these calls that God has called in your life, let me encourage you to do it and answer Him tonight. Maybe you say, Lord, there's something about that calling to separation. Something I know I should be separate from that sin. Or I know that relationship is pulling me down. It's not an evangelistic relationship. Or I know there's that area of stumbling that I probably should stay away from because it could be a stumbling block. Or there's that area of service, Lord, where I know I need to get busy doing something for you. And Lord, I'm going to respond to your call tonight. And that would make all this preaching worthwhile tonight. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.